All right. Welcome to season two of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard and our community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Marjan Bubernak.
Hey, Lewis. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming in. We're recording on an earlier session here today, so appreciate you making the effort in the top of your morning.
Great way to start a week.
Yeah. And we're even releasing this here today, too, so we're just going hard and fast.
I'll keep it clean.
okay.
No editing required.
No, that's how we like it. Just to dive right in here, a little bit about your background, and then we'll jump in. You're raised here in Bethlehem, yep. From the Valley originally. Found yourself down to Washington, D.C., going to Georgetown for college.
Yep.
Big city life. Then started to find your working way career into the Fortune 100 world. Lots of different experiences, I'm sure, yep. Between D.C. and working in large enterprise companies. And now you find yourself back here 8-ish, 10-ish years later.
Yeah.
Working for the family biz.
Yep.
Third generation. Your parents, second generation that own it now, but working to kind of take the reins and move it to you and your sister, I believe,
yep,
right?
Exactly. Yep.
So that's really exciting and obviously a really big change coming from really big businesses and really big cities back to your hometown, the Lehigh Valley, which isn't like super tiny small, but like arguably pretty small.
Yeah.
And then same thing from the business standpoint. Definitely well established. You got a great team, awesome clients, but definitely not Fortune 1,000,
yeah.
Let alone 100, right? So,
yeah.
And you're working with family. That's a whole different ball game, the ball of wax that I'm sure many can understand, but also many just frankly don't because they don't have those type of opportunities. So I'm looking forward to digging in, learning a little bit more about why you decided to come back to the Valley. That's a really big thing that we've been seeing more and more and more and more over our lifetimes growing up. Here in the Valley, people would leave, but certainly not come back.
Yeah.
But you are seeing an increase of young people come back for whatever those reasons might be, and you're a big part of that. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling the Valley home, and I'm going to give you the floor a little bit to talk a little about yourself. Tell us what ET&T is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I spent so many years in D.C., and I have a lot of adult friends. Like, all my growing up, I say I did in D.C. because that's where you become an adult.
Sure.
And all of my friends in D.C., I'm like, property is relatively cheap in the Lehigh Valley compared to D.C. Come on up. And they come up and they're like, we love the Greenway. We love all the they like the small town vibe, but with the big city restaurants and opportunities to get out and about. So slowly but surely, I'm going to start bringing everyone back, I think.
Yeah, and I think even if you're not originally from the Valley,
there's definitely an appeal. I mean, you're an hour from Philly, an hour from New York,
correct,
more or less.
Correct. Yeah. And to your point, housing, cost of living.
Yeah, education. Schools are great.
Yeah, and so there is a lot of even call it national media or, you know, if you're on the lookout for, hey, where can I go? Or maybe I'm looking for a change in my life. Like Allentown, Lehigh Valley, Bethlehem, those are places that do pop up on the list that are around of places to migrate to. So it's pretty interesting seeing that.
Yeah. So my story, ET&T, we're third generation, as you mentioned. My grandfather started it as a telecommunications company. So we did phone systems for many years. That was exclusively what we did. My parents took over about 25 years ago, bought the business off of my grandfather and said, phone systems might not get us through the next two generations. I mean, people still have phones on their desk, but it's not everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they introduced our managed IT services division about 15 years ago now.
Okay.
And what that means is a lot of companies here in the Lehigh Valley, they're small, medium businesses. They don't have the bandwidth or, frankly, there's not the talent right now in the Lehigh Valley to support in-house IT services for every business.
Mm.
So we do the outsourced IT. Anything related to computers, related to your Microsoft, related to your email, we take all of that off your plate so that business owners can focus on what's important to them, their business.
Yeah, it's pretty critical.
Especially with cybersecurity right now. People take it for granted, but holy moly, the stats are pretty scary.
The technology evolves so quickly here, and we're past phone systems, maybe not past it, but evolved from phone systems, and now we're talking about technology, the internet, cybersecurity, and that's
AI.
Just all-encompassing of so much. How does a business even wrap their head around where to focus, or maybe how do you help guide them on where to focus and what's important for them?
We coach our clients on, you're doing what you do best, but in this day and age, technology underpins all of that. So how do you make it efficient? How do you make it work for you? And how do you make it secure? How do you make sure your client's data is secure and that you're not falling for a phishing email or something stupid? You clicked on a link. And, okay, even if you do that, we can likely fix things. But yeah, you got to stay on top of that. Always be vigilant.
So would you say, you know, 15 or so years ago when your parents introduced the IT arm and then really focused on that sector to grow the business, are we at another, you know, pivotal time with you and your sister joining? And it's IT still, but it is very much digital. It's cyber. It's different than what your traditional managed service provider, you know, the last 10, 15, certainly 20, 30 years ago was. So is there like a next stage now that's part of that?
I think so. We're still having those conversations of what we want that to look like. Where I'm thinking about it is, how do we ingrain ourselves more in the day-to-day operations? I mean, like I said, everything's tech-related. How do we help support business operations, automations, AI use cases? I mean, we all use ChatGPT for simple things here and there, but how do we use it to actually improve your business operations? So I haven't found the solution yet. I'm still working on it, but it's an interesting conversation and an interesting pivotal point to see where that goes.
I'm imagining that's kind of core to what you, some of what you bring to the table in coming back, right? I mean, you spent your earlier part of your career in arguably some of the biggest tech businesses in the country, Oracle, Tableau, Salesforce.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some learnings and experience that maybe isn't one-to-one transferable into a smaller business, but certainly practices and ideas and just knowing what's out there that you can then bring into whether it's your business in and of itself or the businesses that you serve as clients.
Yeah. The thing that I did when I was at Tableau and Salesforce was all around data analytics. And I'm looking at it now. There's so much data that even pumps through my small 20-person company. If I had the time, I would sit and just analyze all the data coming through. We're generating, I don't know, 200 tickets a week. What are the trends and the analysis? How can I be improving my business based on data and less on gut feeling? Mm. So that's what I remember and bring to the table from my Salesforce days of, how do we make use of all the data that we're generating to work smarter, not necessarily harder?
Okay. So let's bring it up a higher level here, getting out of the weeds of the data business. No, we're going to go back there, but I want to know, or at least get some insight in, what took you back into the family business? Did you always know that you would be working the family business, had an opportunity to take it over, or did you just have an epiphany one day and was like, oh, let's do it? Like,
kind of, sort of. During COVID, I had my quarter-life crisis.
Okay.
I was living in D.C., like 2 years into the pandemic. I'm living by myself. I said, I got to get out of here. I drove cross-country, and I said, I'm going to live in California for X amount of time. I didn't know. I didn't have a deadline on it.
Heck,
so I just
drove,
ended up in San Diego. I'm like, let's see how this goes. I loved it. Like, when you're bored and you can't leave the house in San Diego, you just go sit on the beach by yourself. It was great.
Could be worse things.
Yes. So I was there for a couple months and I got the opportunity to go to a 5-day silent meditation retreat. I've dabbled in meditation for years and the opportunity presented itself. I told my boss, hey, I'm going off the grid, turning my cell phone off, no internet, no nothing. At the retreat, they actually encourage you not even to bring books, notebooks, anything. They really just want you to get into your head. And 5 days of silence, you really do get into your head.
Sure.
I walked out of there and called mom and said, I'm ready. I think I'm ready to come back to Lehigh Valley. I was ready to have more of an impact. I was ready to work with them. I was ready to continue the legacy. I hit a point, and it made me realize it at the retreat, that corporate life is fun. You earn what you put into it, but it wasn't the legacy that I wanted to live forever.
That's pretty deep, then. So it ties back to family. It ties back to really the community that your grandfather started in a lot of ways, right? And wanted to continue that on.
Yeah, building those roots out and building out a community. I wanted to be a member of a tight-knit community. Not that I came back and I realized, oh, everyone I went to high school with, a lot of people that I knew in the Lehigh Valley are no longer here. So going back to what we said, I'm going to start bringing people back. But I wanted to be able to have an impact on a local community. Whereas in D.C., as much as I loved my community, it was just such a small part of the bigger city that I felt like this was a place that I could really build more roots.
It does seem like that is what makes Lehigh Valley such a special place, is you kind of have a petri dish of, you know, an idea. It's big enough that you can launch it, but it's also small enough that you can really make an impact in whatever industry vertical, or even if there are, you know, bigger players in that space, you can meet them directly. And, you know, whether it's talking with them, competing with them, mentoring from them, you have access.
And you
can do that.
It has its downsides, though. I mean, I struggle with balancing personal and professional. Candidly, everything feels professional. I go to the bar down the street after a long week and I just want to be myself without the business. I don't want to network. I don't want to have the pretenses that come with owning a business. I just want to relax. I don't find very many avenues to do that in the Lehigh Valley. Maybe I'm just looking at the wrong places, but it does feel like there's a lot of meshing of personal and professional here. Everything's a networking opportunity.
Like when you go to that bar, you feel like you're pressured to talk to the bar owner about their IT services?
Sometimes, no, not quite. We don't touch IT service for the bar industry or the restaurant industry, but there's always someone new to me. And I guess maybe this is something I need to change for myself of how can you just build friendships and community without it being a business opportunity? I think when I came here, I was like, okay, great. How do I build community? And I found all these networking and they're not necessarily one and the same.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, like your adaption process.
Yeah.
Back from big city life and big business life into the Lehigh Valley, smaller metro area, smaller business. But then, like, how is that finding a community for you? So it sounds like you found a lot of, like, networking and business-oriented things that have got you turned and focused into this new chapter. But is it fair to say maybe still exploring, like, what else might be out there from, like, a creative outlet standpoint?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a challenge for me. And I'm grateful I've met a lot of really cool people and they've become friends out of this, but I think everything kind of starts with the business lens. So I'm now figuring out how do I just start as a friendship, as a community, as a, hey, we're neighbors, let's go grab a drink after work type of thing. Inevitably, business opportunities might come out of that.
Sure.
But I am focusing more on how do we authentically connect? Like, I don't care what you do, but what's your story? Who are you as a person? What gets you going in the morning?
Yeah.
And business doesn't have to always be that.
It truly does not.
Yeah.
Do you feel like whether it's a spoken or unspoken pressure that you have from your family to that is having you lead that way first versus like your own?
It's probably self-generated pressure.
Okay.
Because we want to grow, obviously. I think the statistic
as a person or as a business?
As both. I think the stat is something like 12% of family businesses survive the third generation. So there's like this unsaid weight on me of like, ooh, don't screw it up.
Yeah.
So there's always a part of me that's saying, how do we grow the business? How do we evolve and stay relevant? But then I'm trying to be better about setting boundaries. How do I do that for myself? What does downtime look like for me? I'm always on the go. It's very hard for me to say, no, you know what? I'm just going to chill out on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. So I'm doing better about that. I actually found some local meditation communities that I'm starting to go and they meet on Wednesday nights. I went for the first time last week and was like, these are my people. I just want to go and chill. Like no one's talking, but we're just sitting here in silence and being together. So that was really cool. There's some cool yoga that goes on in the community that I want to tap more into. So I'm finding places for my boundaries.
It's places, it's people, it's things.
Yeah.
And some of that is probably also going back to your trip to California, like in your own head. Like where in your own head are you carving out that space for yourself?
And
exploring and growing in new avenues that maybe you had in D.C., and just don't know exactly where those are here.
Yeah.
Or if they're here, what those look like in a different evolution here.
Yeah, and I've been bouncing around this idea of hosting like a dinner party every now and then and just bringing together people to have real conversations of what do we want the Lehigh Valley to look like in 10, 20 years? Like, is our parents' generation and the way that they made community and the way they did business the way that we want to do things for the next generation? So I feel strongly that if we don't have those conversations, things will just continue the way they are or they'll evolve naturally. But again, this is maybe me doing too much. I'm like, I want to be able to shape that conversation and I want to be able to shape that with the community that we're building here.
I love the idea. And I think you and I ran into each other, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3, 4 months ago. I forget how long
time
it
flies.
And yeah, and you had mentioned a similar type of outing. And so we should pick that conversation up.
I know,
up and,
we should. I've talked about it enough. I put it out there and I've talked about it with enough people that I just need to put a date on it and say, hey, come on over.
Let's do it. We'll take it
Sounds
off.
Good.
We'll take it offline.
Yeah.
But we're going to get back to that here. We're going to take a really quick break here. I'm Lewis Holzman with Merjan Buberneck, and this is Young Valley Leaders. We'll see you soon.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul & Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
Lewis here with Young Valley Leaders, back with Merjan. We're talking about dinner parties. We're talking about Young Valley Leaders here in the Valley. We're talking about moving back to the Valley, finding yourself, doing a business, working with family, working in telecommunications, evolving it into what the internet is here today to help solve business challenges in a very real and competitive business environment. Looking on the community side of all of that here, we're thinking about dinner parties. We're trying to figure out what does it look like for younger individuals to just get to know each other on a personal level and really break out outside of the physical event of a dinner party. What does that maybe look like for you when you think about the fabric that, you know, Southside Bethlehem has woven for you in your life, both in its inception to now what it seems like in its evolved state, being back here as an adult?
Yeah. I have to shout out Frank Alvarado at LVEDC. He does all the data, back to data analytics. We've geeked out on all the data that he collects for the LVEDC, the Economic Development Council. Cool. And they publish a stat that the Lehigh Valley has the fastest growing population of 18 to 34 year olds in the entire state.
You heard it here, folks. Say it again.
Fastest growing population of 18 to 34 year olds in the state of Pennsylvania. And I think Northampton County is in the top 100 for the country.
Wow.
And that gets me to think, like, how do we engage this population? And it goes back to the dinner parties and the like, how do we build a community and what do we want it to look like in the future? But how do we support our local businesses? Like, I love going to Bond Place down the street from here. My Friday, Saturday night spot, I'll go in there. I never leave without making a new friend. Like, it's just such a friendly community. And we've got so many other great spots here on Southside. I love going out to eat in Easton. Shout out Cabinet Wine Bar, some of the best wine that I've found locally. So, well, it's not local wine, but they've got a great book of wine. Yeah, so. Yeah. Supporting these local businesses, supporting these places for gathering and for building community, that's something I'm passionate about. And can you tell them a foodie? Monocacy Farm Project in Bethlehem is a pick-your-own farm. Every Saturday morning, I try to get out there and pick my vegetables for the week. So there's so much that we can do to build community, to nourish both our stomachs and our souls.
Well, now I'm hungry. I usually don't eat before.
I didn't eat breakfast yet. So, yeah, yeah. No, sorry.
No, it's cool. It's really exciting. My gears are just turning because I'm in a similar boat of like always trying to extend out a network and figure out how to engage the people that are roughly in and around my age here in the Lehigh Valley. Because A, I know it's increasing. B, I know kind of historically over my lifetime, the narrative has been there's nothing to do here.
Yeah, not the case. There's so much to do, but it's, how do you find the, like, I get it. A lot of people might not want to go somewhere by themselves. Like, how do we build the community so that you can call someone that you just met and say, hey, let's go grab a drink together, or there's something going on at Arts Quest. Let's go catch a show together.
How do you build that excitement?
Yeah.
And that consistency and sustainment around that excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think it takes vulnerability. I think it means exchanging business cards at a networking event, but then saying, hey, we should just text that person and say, hey, you seemed like a cool person. Can we get to know each other and go grab a drink or go for a walk in one of the great parks we have? I live on the Greenway. I love, let's just go for a coffee and walk instead of a traditional sit down business meeting.
Yeah. And I think there's something to learn from, call it our peers and the older generation above us, that like that's what they traditionally have had to always do because they didn't have the internet in connecting us like we have, and certainly generations younger, which almost has disabled the ability to communicate in person
in
some ways, because that is very frequent. There's a lot of networking events that are around here that are run by, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s professionals. And they are professional networking events, but they're also more casual. They're loose. They're probably not how you and I would do them.
Yes.
But for that population. And
it worked for them, and it works for us to an extent.
An extent.
I think I'd rather go and do it supporting local businesses or whatever. I guess I haven't figured it out. And that's what, if anyone wants to like hit me up and say, let's go grab coffee, I want to talk about this with more people because there's something interesting going on here. There's so many of us here. How do we create the community and build better ties?
We're going to do it. I will take it offline, but I certainly find the appeal or see the appeal. And even in some ways, maybe a year or so ago, I had a buddy and he had a few people that were working on this with him, but they were doing brunches.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily out places. It was like being hosted at either someone's house or like a and then people would bring, almost like potluck style, but then it was also people bringing other people. It wasn't just who got the invite. And so that expanded, and it wasn't geared towards a business or towards any specific event or gathering or philanthropy. And so it did allow to start branching out and meeting some of those others. And, you know, I got some friends out of that.
Yeah.
And certainly relationships go different ways.
I'm reading a book right now called The Art of Gathering. Okay. And I'm only on chapter two, so I can't contribute much. But chapter one was about how we should really go into events with purpose. If you're hosting an event, if you're hosting a dinner, if you're hosting a networking event, what is the purpose of that event? And the example they gave was baby showers. A baby shower 30, 40 years ago is totally different than what we host baby showers for now. Now sure. It's to support parents. So how do you model and create an event with purpose? And what is your intentional purpose in the event? So it's been an interesting framework for me to think about as I manifest this dinner party of what the purpose should be for it.
Leading with purpose, having some level of passion behind that purpose and being present while you're then driving that purpose forward is going to give that overall experience for yourself, but then for everyone that attends that's like, yeah, I want to do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you then break that wall of, okay, you met at the dinner party, now take it and become real friends and real community outside of just one instance?
Right. Maybe it's not all 40 people at the dinner party that you become best friends with, but like, are there like two or three or five people that you find something in common and move that forward in your own way?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I feel like we're going down a rabbit hole here. But
we're here for rabbit holes. We can pull it back up a little bit though. I mean, you talked about reading. Are there any other like professional development, personal development, self-care habits, routines that you have either always done or maybe you find renewed in yourself that
help you? Like I said, meditation has been a big part of what got me back to the Lehigh Valley. So I have a meditation group that we meet with every Wednesday morning. I've been part of that group. It's virtual for 4 years now, which is really awesome. You start to build the people. I call that my group therapy, which is really great. We meditate for 20 minutes and then just talk for about an hour. I love to cook. I love to, like I said, find fresh ingredients and just cook. It's something that a way that I found balance and boundaries is that I like to spend more weeknights at home than not. It's hard because there's always something to be doing outside right after work.
Right.
But I do try to come home and cook a meal every night, and I'm not a meal prepper. So my boyfriend's always like, how do you do this? Like every night you're coming up with something new. I'm like, what brings me joy? Like chopping onions is like my therapy at the end of the day.
Crying over it.
Contacts. I don't have to do that
okay,
anymore.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And I like to read, so I've got usually two or three books in the rotation at any given point. Nice. One business, one fun, and one like philosophy, psychology.
Are you cracking the pages or are you digital?
A little bit of both. I'm a big fan of Bethlehem Public Library. I go there on Saturday mornings. I get two cookbooks a week and one novel usually. So I've got that, and then I'll have a Kindle too with something going on.
Shout out Bethlehem Public Library.
Yeah.
So you're chopping through some good books, a good amount of books, I should say.
I'm behind on my goal for the year, but
you have a goal.
But I have a goal. Usually try to read between 30 and 35 books a year.
It's incredible.
So I'm behind this year.
That's incredible, right. Though. It's probably
artificial goals. It doesn't really matter.
33 to 34 more than most people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think I saw a stat recently that like. I'm going to butcher this, I'm sorry, but 70% of kids back in the 80s said they had read at least one book for fun, mm-hmm. and now the stat has completely flipped that only 30 or 25% say that they've read a book for fun.
Yeah.
Gotta read. There's so much out there.
Really
There's
is.
So much to explore and learn, and I think that's my creative outlet. It allows me to get ideas, take notes, and then go off and think about it while I'm driving and can ruminate on it.
Do you think some of those changes in statistics is part of where we see the challenges in communication and within our generation, certainly younger, where we have all the knowledge. Now, before you didn't have the knowledge, you had to read to go get the knowledge.
Yeah.
But now it's all at our fingertips and it's almost like, eh.
So like, now it's information overload.
You don't go actually seek it out or dive deep into it because it's just a quick Google search and an AI overview.
Yeah,
that
or a
50-second
TikTok video that like just scrolls by in your feed. Yeah. I don't know. For fear of sounding like an old fuddy-duddy, like I'm not really on social media. I don't like to put myself out there that much. And I don't like to feel like I have the world coming at me. Like I want to learn things in a measured and thoughtful way. And I just get overwhelmed by social media trying to push things on me. So I don't know. I do think it has totally changed the way people learn and react in society. Like our attention spans have just completely been eviscerated. So Yeah, I don't know what that means for our future.
Yeah, less of the, for the future, just, and you're an
in the day-to-day.
You're an exception to the rule, you know, just from the book stat in that way, right?
Yeah.
And so thinking about the rest, I don't know. It's something I contemplate on is we have all the tools to be able to communicate and to be able to be more effective in a tighter-knit community, but somehow it's all up in the cloud.
Yeah.
And that's what gets the attention.
Yeah, how do we bring it back down?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll save that for the dinner conversation.
Stay tuned. Really big banger dropping on this dinner.
You're going to have to come with your thinking cap on.
So kind of taking it back to working in the family business, I think your sister's involved. We said that a little bit. Was she always involved as well?
No, so I joined about 2 years ago and she joined about a year ago. My parents never said, hey, come and do this. They always said, this is an option. If and when you're ready, it's yours to come and work with us and learn. And we said that if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but we wanted to come and try. My sister does our marketing and some of our graphic design work. I'm a little bit of everything. I'm trying to be better about that, sales, business development, business operations. So we're figuring out what those the shared responsibility is and what do we want the future to look like. I mean, my parents are still heavily involved in the business, but we're making plans for when is that not going to be the case.
Sure. So looking into that future, or even just looking back at the past year, 2 years that you've been involved with it, any guiding comments to others that are, whether it's in the IT and telecommunications sector or maybe just starting a business, maybe working with their family, any potholes or things that would you've found to be very helpful in your career so far?
Yeah. I commend anyone who wants to start a business. I'm very grateful that I didn't have to start it, that I could come in the middle of it and there was already a foundation. And my mom always reminds me, like, nothing you can do is going to burn this down overnight. Like, we've built a foundation. We have a strong foothold, and everything we can do is just growth and opportunity. But I would say there's three things. I learned this from a meditation teacher. Nothing is perfect, nothing is permanent, and nothing is personal. And I always try and remind myself of that every day of, like, we're striving for perfection, but perfection doesn't exist. So, like, how can you just make incremental progress every day? And when we're hiring in an IT role, I actually always look for, is this a person I can talk to? Are they relatable? Can they get on the phone and help someone save their computer in the most dire moments? Like, can they talk someone through really difficult situations? The IT side I can teach. We have great institutions here in the Lehigh Valley that are teaching the hard skills of IT, but it's the interpersonal skills that that I tend to look for when I'm building out my team.
So going deeper into those interpersonal skills, what are some of the core values and principles that you hold that you lead and used to lead in your life?
Yeah, I try to do everything authentically. And maybe it ends up in these rambling conversations because I don't have the answers, and I will be the first to always say I don't have the answers and I don't know how to do things half the time. Uh-huh. But I will be genuine and authentic and open to conversation when I don't know what I'm doing, and I always trying to learn.
And that's critical. That's what allows people to break down the walls and feel like they are invited to the dinner party.
Yeah.
To want to be able to get there.
I'm going
to
get so many requests to join, I think, after this.
Telling you, we're going to do it.
I've got 12 seats at my dinner table at home right now.
How can people find you? We're wrapping up towards the end of the segment, whether it's you, the business. How can people get in touch?
I'm on LinkedIn. That's basically the only social media I do. Every now and then I'll stop on Instagram, but LinkedIn's the place to find me personally. Business is et-t.com.
Awesome. Yeah. So before wrapping up here, any final advice, comments, words of strength, encouragement for upcoming leaders listening in?
I'm super excited by the community, the young community that's growing in the Lehigh Valley. And I just say, let's meet up, let's meet personal, build those connections, build those friendships, and let's go support our local businesses nearby.
Let's go support those local businesses nearby. Lots of opportunity here. Mirjan, thank you so much for
coming in.
It's been a pleasure having
you
here. That about does it for episode 18. Young Valley Leaders here. Thank you so much for listening again, for taking the time here on your Monday. But you can find the show airing monthly on WDIY 88.1 FM on the second Monday of each month at 6:30 p.m. and then streaming forever with all other episodes on WDIY 88.1's website. That's WDIY.org. Of course, We are in 2025, so things like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, and YouTube are also options. Big shout out to some of the people that are making this possible. Lauren Matthews with the brand for Young Valley Leaders, allowing that to come to life. James, Seamus, and all the good folks at WDIY for giving us the time and space to bring this show alive and supporting efforts for our dissemination. And Matt, thank you, buddy, bringing this live on screen in every episode with us behind the scenes for the video component. You can catch on the website, on YouTube, social media clips, Spotify, and more. Again, I'm Lewis Holzman here today with Marijan Bubernack.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Catch you next time.
Catch you next time. All right. See you guys.